Anything worth saying is worth talking about. Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, in this hour, we've got a special guest. I'm going to forego the news and cut straight to the issue. We are joined by Mark Mauser. He is running for U.S. Senate as a Republican here in California. We are openly supporting him. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Mark, you know, when I reached out to you yesterday, it was all going to be about, you know, this inflation bill and everything. But they raided Mar-a-Lago last night. So I need to get your thoughts on that atrocious event.
Well, how come you think that they're two separate events?
Ooh, I'm intrigued. Go ahead.
Okay, let's start and think about it. This Friday, the House is supposed to vote on this. Nancy Pelosi has very limited wiggle room here. And as people are starting to understand these 87,000 IRS agents, and it's very clear that the Democrats have made abundantly clear that these people are going after everybody, not just the super rich. There's a lot of people who have concerns about that. So the question is, what is the best way to make sure that nobody calls up these vulnerable House Democrats and starts insisting that they vote no on the Inflation Reduction Act, which is really, if you were to actually study all the pages of the bill, it is really the Special Interest Retirement Fund Act. And so as people understand what's in it, there's going to be a lot of phone calls coming into D.C. this week saying vote no on it. And Nancy Pelosi does not have much leeway, and she needs every vote possible. So she needs the eyes of the nation off of the Inflation Reduction Act and needs them to be looking at something different.
That's interesting, because if just a day, you know, before this thing happened in the press, if you read yesterday, you know, they were trying to make it sound like, oh, this is easily going to get through the House. And I didn't know if it would or not, but you're saying you're less certain of that. And if this going on.
An article I read today talked about congressional seats across the nation that Biden won by up to 15 points that are now all of a sudden in play. There are people who do not want to lose their job, Democrats. Right. And they understand that right now you're looking at 50, 60, maybe even 70 congressional candidates losing their job. Well, and understand that experts have said that this Inflation Reduction Act actually is going to increase inflation, not next year, next month. There are plenty of experts that say that inflation is increasing next month because of this bill, which means it's not like you can pass it now and the benefits aren't real or the consequences aren't seen till next year. So as such, there are people who have a real concern about losing their job, and Nancy Pelosi only has like two or three wiggle room seats because of how close the House is divided right now.
Well, to your point about Ron Paul once said, and he's kind of my political North Star. He once said, he goes, whatever these bills say, read it backwards, read it the opposite way, and that's what it actually is. So this is not an inflation, this will not help address inflation. It's going to increase inflation, like you're saying.
That is very correct. And I, as somebody who studied all the pages of the bill, listened to multiple hours of the debate before the Senate, the thing is, the talking points is, we are going after the rich with this bill. But two-thirds of the bill is chock full of special interest spending that rich corporations are going to be able to take advantage of. And so it doesn't, you know, there might be a few provisions out there that close loopholes, but they created 50 more. You know, so you close one loophole, but go create 50 more, but say, look, we're closing loopholes. We're going after the rich. But at the same time, you're making, special interests get richer. So, it's not that the language itself is the opposite. You don't have to, all you have to do is actually read the language of the bill, and the language of the bill is opposite of the language of the title and opposite of the talking points.
Mark, did you also see that, this came out yesterday, and Manchin, this guy that some on the right were seeing as their potential ally, he and Kyrsten Sinema, so he finally gives in and does this kind of secret deal with Schumer to pass this thing, and everybody's kind of flabbergasted how this went down. And then I see this article yesterday that apparently it's going to provide some decent funding back to some of his donors that happen to be a pipeline company. Did you see that?
I am aware of some of the political graft that he was able to obtain for his well-heeled investors who have bought and paid for him. And that's one of the reasons why, as a candidate for United States Senate, I'm so proud that, most of my funding comes from people who've given less than $200, because when I go to the United States Senate, I want to be accountable to we the people. I don't want to be bought and paid for by special interests. And, what you saw there was, Manchin giving up a lot, but he made sure that he got his pound of flesh. And that's one of the problems that people have with these pork barrel spending rules, because these pork barrel bills, what it is okay, I get some, you get some, you get some, you get some. And the person left holding the bill is not you. It's not your children. It's your great, great grandchildren who are going to be paying the interest on this, paying the price of inflation for decades to come.
Well, let's talk about your campaign, because I support you. I've known you since before this job, and you are a man I trust at his word, and you walk the walk and the whole nine yards. How is the campaign going?
Campaign is full speed ahead.
Excellent.
We are a lot of exciting stuff going on. I mean, the last week was the Inflation Reduction Act, and now Trump's raiding of Mar-a-Lago. I think today alone, I've had more media interviews than I've had in the last month. It's just
fantastic.
A lot of crazy stuff going on.
Well, let me ask you this, because we have to talk about this. So the thing with Mar-a-Lago, I mean, to me, that was a huge political gamble that Merrick Garland and the Democrats are taking on this thing, because, as you just mentioned, it's like it's for the people that were on the fence and maybe weren't going to vote for Trump or whatever. They were thinking about DeSantis, or they're kind of an action like that actually empowers him to a certain extent and just makes a lot of people want to vote for him now, because they see him as being targeted in this wild and crazy raid.
Yeah, well, the angle that I've been talking about that most people seem to forget is that for over 50 years, the FBI was one of the most political organizations in the nation under Hoover. And the thing is, when Hoover died and the nation's step back and actually started to look at all the politicization of the nation's top federal agency, the nation revolted and they said, this is unacceptable. And the thing that I have noticed most about this is it's not necessarily the response of the Trump supporters that I've been looking at. I've been looking at the responses of, let's say, liberal attorneys, of some liberal newscast, and a number of them have come out and said this is unacceptable, because deep down in our hearts, we don't want to go back to the days of Nixon and the plumbers. We don't want to go back to the days of the dirty trick campaign that's being done on the government dime. And so we don't want to go back to that, but that's what's been going on. And this is, as I say, this is the crossing of the Rubicon. The FBI crossed the Rubicon. For the last 10 years, people have been getting a little antsy about the FBI and how
a lot antsy.
This is just, and it doesn't matter at this point in time if it was legitimate or not, if they had a legitimate reason. The problem is the optics are so bad that they have lost the public's trust. They all remember what happened 6 years ago when Hillary Clinton was seen to have violated this exact same law. And the FBI came up and said, no reasonable prosecutor would do anything to Hillary Clinton. Nothing to see here, folks. Let's move on. And what we see here, what happened here today, you know, understanding that you do not get a warrant unless there are exigent circumstances that the evidence is going to be destroyed. Donald Trump was several thousand miles away. There was no imminent harm that this evidence was going to be destroyed. And so that is, you know, that is why it doesn't matter what the evidence comes out. People are going to be perceiving that this was political. This is going back to the roots of the FBI and J. Edgar Hoover days. And the people of the United States rejected that in the 70s, and they're equally going to reject it now. There are going to be consequences in the 2022 election because of this. And, you know, McCarthy has already said, you know, Garland, clear your calendar. You're going to be spending a lot of time in front of the House. And, you know, I don't think it's just him. I think the whole entire FBI is going to have to give account for themselves, whether it's, you know, what they did with the Steele dossier, what they did with Hunter Biden's laptop, the evidence that they are covering up regarding January 6th. And now what they're doing here, the FBI is perceived by too many people as being a partisan organization, not a reputable crime-fighting unit. And so as such, you know, Congress created the FBI, and Congress has the power to modify, reorganize, or disband the FBI.
Mark, I've been very concerned about the FBI for a while, and it seems like the FBI and the DOJ are completely politicized and weaponized at this point. And you're right. I mean, we crossed the Rubicon yesterday. If people didn't see it beforehand, they certainly see it now. And Mark, I know you were doing a lot of interviews, and I appreciate your time. Tell everybody how they could support your campaign, because I'm supporting you. And brother, I hope you win this.
Well, I would encourage everybody to go to my website, markmoiser.com. That's markmeuser.com. At the website, you can do three things. You can sign up to volunteer. You can make a contribution to the campaign. You can also sign up for our email newsletter. But also, don't forget, you can see me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also see me over on Truth Social. So whichever social media platform you're on, any of those four, make sure you follow me, and because we'll be talking about these issues all the way up to the election day.
Mark, thank you so much for your time. I wish you continued luck on the campaign trail, and thank you for everything you do. You're true blue, man, and we support you here at TNT and on my show, Deprogram. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, folks. So, because Mark is, he's, like I say, he's doing a lot of interviews today, and he told me he couldn't come on very long, so we want to honor that and let him go do what he needs to do. We're going to be joined in just a second by our good friend Patrick Jordan, and we're going to talk about more wild and crazy stuff that's happening here in L.A., as if it would ever be any different. This is TNT. This is Deprogram. My name is Michael Parker, and we'll be right back.
Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Here's a question. Like, you could look at something like polar bears, and they're clearly, their numbers are up. There's more than they've ever counted. The U.S. Geological Survey says they're probably at or near historic population highs, more than they've ever counted.
The models predicted that the Arctic was going to be ice-free. Remember, there was not going to be any ice up at the Arctic Circle anymore. They all predicted that. Did it happen? No. Now ice is bigger than it ever was. And then they have another model, a polar bear model, if you like, downstream of this climate model, which uses the climate model. The polar bear model uses the climate model and then projects the number of polar bears that there's going to be. And you, of course, everybody remembers, they said they were going to diminish and probably die off because there was not going to be any Arctic sea ice. There was not going to be any polar bears. And both turned out to be whoppingly false.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
When you need to know what's going on around the world and at home, keep it on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, we are back for our, we're in the midst of our third hour, and we are joined by our friend, retired Los Angeles Sheriff's Department Chief Patrick Jordan, and the chief makes time for us, and we're always appreciative of that. He is a 38-year veteran and retired chief of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and he sent CC and I an interesting email today, and it was in regards, because we had a couple of things to talk about, but we'll start with this. It's in regards to a bill, I guess it's kind of tabled until the beginning of the year, but it's this SB 299. Chief, welcome to the show and explain what this is all about.
Hey, thank you for having me again. And, you know, before I jump into that, let me comment a little bit on what Mark said. I think he asked me to when we first connected. You know, on the FBI, very frustrating because, you know, I read All the President's Men, and there was, I forget the name of the commission where we reigned in the FBI and the CIA after that. And now here we, you know, full circle, we're back to this. And the ironic thing about that is who sat on the Watergate committee as a very young lawyer, but one Hillary Rodham Clinton. She That's sat right. on that. She understood the abuses, but she had no problem ginning up some dirty politics with the Steele letter, had no problem using the authority of her office and the FBI and you know, sending information to the FBI so they would get involved in the case. Has no problem with that. But let me bring the FBI issue right down to a ground level so that everybody understands the hypocrisy. And you've heard me say, rules for thee, but not for me. So during this whole Russian debacle thing with Trump, you know, they submitted a warrant to the FISA court so that they could eavesdrop on Trump. Now, if you connect that to Watergate, they broke into the Watergate headquarters so they can get some of their papers on how they're running that campaign. So in this one, they used the FBI to get a FISA warrant based upon faulty data or faulty information to get information about his campaign. Not any different. File server, file cabinet, same thing, same motive. So the FBI submits this false warrant to get this information. The Justice Department knows it's false, but just this week, the FBI announced that they're going to prosecute the detectives who wrote the warrant that led to the death of Breonna Taylor. Now, that's correct. Now, they put false information in their affidavit. That affidavit then led to some guys doing a search warrant, and she was killed. And they're rightly prosecuting her for a civil rights violation. My question is, and I'm happy about that prosecution because I've written search warrants before, you have to be truthful. You swear that to the court. People rely on your information. If you lie to get the probable cause and the probable cause is not there, that's against the Constitution, and they're going to be convicted the way I see it. But where is the prosecution for the people who lied on the FISA warrant? Where is that? It doesn't exist because they were doing it for some very powerful people. I mean, that's my first comment on what Mark was talking about. I had another one. I'll jump on it. But that one directly relates to what does that mean for us? We expect our police to be honest in their search warrants. We need to, the FBI and the Justice Department needs to be honest in their search warrants and the FISA warrants. That's my first comment. What do you think of that?
Well, no, I think that's dead on. I mean, I've been worried about this for a long time, but you know, I'm one of those wild and crazy conspiracy theorists, but if you don't get it by now, I mean, we've had 7 years of the FBI looking pretty weaponized to me. And it always seemed to come back to the FBI when we were talking about these things with these investigations and Trump did this and Trump did that. Yet, and when they got the Hunter Biden laptop, they sat on it for months and months and months. And finally, I think the owner of the little store asked for it back. He reached out to Giuliani. So somebody from Giuliani's team, I think, went and got the thing. So they just sat on that. And then when we look at the Clinton thing,
Mark was talking about is, hey, the distraction game, you know, let's distract them, get them away off of what we're going to vote on. So what's her name goes to Pelosi goes to Asia, right, and visits Taiwan, right, which upsets the Chinese. And, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but I'm thinking, you know what, we're coming up on an election. The Democrats look horrible because they were really soft on China as China handled their COVID stuff. I mean, they didn't give us all the information. They sent people out of the country knowing they were probably infected. They really weren't easy partners to deal with this pandemic on. And when I say China, I don't mean the people. I mean the Communist Party of China. That's who we're talking about. I'm not talking about Chinese nationals because, I mean, they spent all their time demonizing anybody who said anything against the Chinese leadership as being, anti-Chinese or, racist and all that stuff. That's not true. All we're asking for is accountability from the government of China who were unaccountable as it relates to the COVID. But more importantly, you know, it seems, as you mentioned, the laptop is picking up steam politically, right? And Biden, his son has connections with China, and, you know, all these Democrats are running and they want to look like they're being a little tough on China. So their leader, Pelosi, goes out there and kind of puts the thumb in the eye of the Chinese. I think that was all political. I really believe that's what that was all about. It was for domestic consumption, and it wasn't even really to benefit Taiwan. It probably created more problems with Taiwan. I think that was just a Democratic calculus. Let's take this risk because we really need to look like we're tough on the Communist Party of China because we've been too soft, and the majority of voters are probably very frustrated with China on a variety of issues. I'm talking the Chinese leadership, not the Chinese people. And so that's kind of what I looked at it. So I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but that just looks so overtly political to me, what she did and what the FBI is doing, prosecuting some people for lying, but not taking ownership of prosecuting their own agents who did the very same thing with the FISA warrant. It's interesting. I'm talking about the federal level, but we probably ought to jump into what we just started the conversation with, and that's SB 299, which is another really frustrating thing. So basically, this legislature,
I just want to throw one thing in on the Taiwan Pelosi thing. The thing that bothered me, and instead of saying conspiracy theory, we should say strategy theory, because I think a lot of times when people see conspiracies, what I see are strategies. And I think, I'm not sure why she did it. I think she's completely out to lunch, but I think she's also completely out of touch. She's drunk on power. What you described very well could be the reason. Mostly, I just thought it was super reckless. Nobody was asking her to do this. The Biden administration itself, she is not part of the executive branch, and the executive branch typically kind of handles diplomacy, although Newt Gingrich had been there in the 90s. But it was just a bad idea. Right now, with all the things that are happening, I thought it was a reckless thing. And my other concern was like, what if something goes wrong? Something gets said sideways or something happens. I wasn't worried about them, you know, shooting her plane down or anything, but I just didn't see anything good that could come out of it. And I thought it was very selfish on her part to no, I'm going to do it. And there's that. But yeah, let's move on to SB 99.
Okay. SB 99 I kind of pay attention to the legislature up there to see what they're doing, because, you know, they take all these actions. And we've talked about, the bill to get rid of loitering for intent to prostitution earlier in your show. We've talked about other things they're doing at the state legislature. But this bill was already passed by the assembly. And, you know, I have a few problems with it. I mean, the very first thing is the language they use to justify it is police violence. So they'll say any legitimate use of force, or even use of force that's criminal. So obviously you can say criminal use of force by police can be police violence, but all the legitimate uses of force are in the benefit of the people. The legislature passes the laws, and then they ask law enforcement to support those laws or to enforce those laws. And we take an oath to enforce those laws, and we take an oath to enforce them within the context of the Constitution, which we do. And then to have legislatures and these advocates claim that any use of force is police violence. And this is where I have a real problem with this bill. What the bill says is basically, if you are injured, seriously injured by police, they call it using police violence, even if you've committed a crime, even if the efforts of the police were a legitimate use of force, if you're seriously injured, you are a victim and you are entitled to benefits from this victim's compensation fund. And it one of the cases they cited was this guy who was shot up in Stockton, right? And so this is, they talked about this, people went up there, and basically he was wanted for murder. He'd been involved in another shooting, and he rammed the police car and they ended up shooting him, right? And ended up killing him, right? And so here's a murderer. You know, you can, per the Constitution, a fleeing suspect wanted for murder, you can legitimately shoot him, you know, because he's considered a dangerous to the public. We try not to do that unless we really actually have to. But here he's being assaulted and he's wanted for murder and he's been involved in the shooting before. But according to them, he's somebody, his family should be able to get money from the victim's compensation fund because he was murdered under police violence. You know, go ahead. This is the crisis.
Because we have to continue on because I've got thoughts about this. This is so incredibly nuts. And you know, what could possibly go wrong, right? I'm here with retired Los Angeles Sheriff's Department Chief Patrick Jordan, and we're talking about just the latest round of crazy that we got going on here. It's time for that bottom of the hour news bit. We'll be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
Donald Trump posted to his social media platform an eerie apocalyptic ad calling America a nation in decline, while also promising a political future for himself where he says the best is yet to come. The leaders of Estonia and Finland want fellow European countries to stop issuing tourist visas to Russian citizens. Taipei's foreign minister says that China is using its large-scale military exercises around Taiwan to prepare for an invasion of the self-governed island.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Chief Jordan, don't you know that everybody is a victim and everybody deserves remuneration, even if they're like a fleeing murder suspect? I mean, you know, everybody needs a little slack here.
You know, I've been remiss. I need to go back and count up all the times that I've been assaulted by suspects and get in and file an application with the Victim Compensation Board so that I can get compensated for all of my injuries that I have. 38 years of being punched or kicked or a bit by suspects. I should be able to get some money out of them, right? But I'm a cop. I can't. No way. We don't fund you guys, right?
Shucks.
it's funny. I think that, you know, I suspect there's a lot of people don't even know about the Victim Compensation Fund.
I didn't.
Yeah. And so what I think you'll see is now these advocacy groups will look for every situation where some thug is hurt by the police and they're going to file for some. And so they'll be the biggest beneficiaries because they're organized right now and they're just going to suck money out of there. So the real victims, because there's always a finite amount of money in there. It's never infinite, right? You know, the real victims will be cut short or will be denied simply because money was not there, right? And so this is just a bad bill. One more bad piece of public policy that we all have to endure if they passes it. Now, I think it was the can was kicked down the road past January just because of the election. I really do believe that. And so because they don't want to vote on it right now because their opponents will use it against them and people are angry right now at all their bad public policy. But I think after the first year, they will vote on it and it will come. And I think about it. So you're a criminal and you have no incentive to surrender anymore. I mean, if you get hurt, you can apply for money. Your family can apply for money. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, think about it.
Chief, that's the first thing I took away from it. I'm like, well, wait a minute. It's like when you're playing basketball or football, man, we need a timeout or something. We don't have any timeouts. Oh, I hurt my leg or something. It's like, of course, if I've already been arrested and they injured me, maybe I'll get some money out of it. I mean, I don't know. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw this. And the other thing that was interesting about it when I was trying to read it, not being a lawyer, is this kind of political gray area that it's in now, because I think they introduced it in 2021. They kind of tabled it, I think, in like November. I'm sorry. I think in like August or September. So now it's probably exactly what you're saying. They're going to wait till after the election, and then we'll reintroduce it, and then we'll pass it.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy what they're doing. But, you know, at what was going on in Sacramento and in retirement, if what I have to do is look at all their bills and let you know about it so we can get some sanity and against these things, is I don't have any problem doing it, because I didn't know all this stuff
like
going
that.
On in Sacramento. When I was working, and I really only got interested when I was actually joined the union with Burton Brink, who's running for the assembly. When I joined him and I started listening to what they were doing up in Sacramento and how anti-police it was, how the ACLU is one of the largest lobbyists and they lobby for all this stuff. And nobody, the only people that were checking them were police unions. And of course, local politicians like Holly Mitchell said police unions are a bunch of racists, even though the police departments are majority minority departments. You know, she gets away with this stuff. But all these other lobbyists are backed up because they're afraid of somebody calling them names. They don't want to be captured in the woke mob,
right,
put in woke jail. So they back off and they don't say anything. And when we used to talk to our lobbyists, it was amazing how it was a lonely job for them to lobby for law enforcement, and particularly law enforcement unions, because they were the only ones doing that beat. And nobody would talk any common sense unless it was closed door and nobody else was around. And so it's really bad. But, you know, I was watching something from the Hoover Institute, and they just said, hey, you know what? We just got to keep talking about this and keep talking about this until sanity returns. And, we just talked about insanity at the federal level and the state level. I was wondering if you wanted to go to the local level and talk about the hotels a little bit.
Well, you totally read my mind. Let me throw one other thing in the Sacramento thing is, like, because last week we had Tara Thornton on, and she's part of a group called Freedom Angels. And we've had, I think it's Denise Rodriguez is her partner in this. I hope that's got her name right. Anyway, they are a group of concerned mothers, and they are up there at Sacramento. I mean, and they're not like anti-vaxxers. They're just like, well, wait a minute, let's just hold on and figure. But their point is like, they are up there in Sacramento in the faces of these people, because there's the SB 866, I think, is the one that we're talking about right now, which will allow the kids to be vaccinated without the permission of their parents. But there's a whole slew of these things kind of brought about by the same group of folks, including Scott Wiener. Anyway, they're up there with other concerned mothers. And these days, thank God for them. Thank God for you, because otherwise they just pass this stuff in a vacuum, and next thing you know, we've got all these crazy rules. And so it is good to keep our eyes on them right now and make them know we're watching you. And it's going to take a long time probably to get our house back in order, but it starts with us paying attention and letting them know we see you and we're following you.
Well, I think when it comes to, because I listened a little bit to that show, I think I caught him on Brian McLean's show. And then I listened to your, the climatologist or whoever you're talking on the previous hour. And one of the things I think everybody should be suspicious of, and I am certainly suspicious of, and is when they say the science is settled. Right. Usually when they say the science is settled, what they mean is don't discuss this with me, don't argue with me. Because if you That's really right. understand the scientific method, the Socratic method, it's about questioning, turning over rocks, challenging assumptions. You know, and if you don't ever do that, you know, bad science. I mean, let's talk about eugenics. Now, eugenics was this whole thing about one race was more powerful than another. Some scientists says it was true and it was settled. Well, we all know that that's bullshit. It was racist driven. It was wrong.
Yep.
And so we can't just say the science is settled. And I had an argument with a very close person in my life, a chemistry teacher, my sister. Teacher of the year and one of the state of our state of Michigan, and very accomplished. And she talked about climate change. I said, hey, the first thing you have to be suspicious of them is when they say the science is settled. Because you know, as a scientist, science is never always settled. There's always more to discuss, always more to look at. And so as soon as they say that, as soon as you hear that, lips come out of their mouth, you got the Wieners of the world and whoever else says that, you're going to need to start challenging them. What do you mean the science is settled? I want to ask questions. I want all of these scientists to come out of the woodwork and turn over rocks to make sure we're right.
And, absolutely. I thought it was a work in progress. I thought we just kept seeking. We kept experimenting. We kept figuring things out. And we don't say, hey, you know what? We're done here. It's all sorted out. No, science is that constant process of learning and growing. And if we didn't do something right over here, we've done it this many different ways. And well, that's not the method. We don't just stop. And it was very dogmatic, very almost borderline high priest / religion-esque, the science. It's, you know, can't talk about the science, but anyway.
Well, we should. I mean, heck, we never questioned science. Galileo would still have been excommunicated from the church and all this other stuff. I mean, come on. You can look at history when you said the science is settled, we can't talk about that and how wrong we've been over and over again. And I'm not saying the science is wrong. I'm just saying there needs to be alternative voices. We need to ask questions. And as soon as a government official says that, we need to question their veracity and their commitment to the people, right? And you know, and that, which brings up this local stuff with the hotels, right? You know, I just, you know, we build bad public policy on top of bad public policy, right? And so the city council wants to pass an ordinance that would require hotels in the city of Los Angeles to report their vacancies so that they can place homeless people in those vacant rooms at whatever market rate, whatever that is. And, you know, let's just, before anybody agrees with this policy, let's talk about the policies that they also pushed and the results of them. So they pushed Prop 47, they pushed criminal justice reform. And what do we got? We got increased homicides. We got an increase in suicide since Prop 47. We got an increase in overdoses, and we got an increase in homelessness. But we got one more policy that we're going to push that's going to help, and that's to do this. And I think it's just going to destroy tourism. I don't know what you think about that, but I think that's where we're going.
So that's the first thing I thought of. And Chief, the other question that I had, because when I read the article, I don't remember if you sent it to me or CC sent it to me, but the first thing I'm thinking, well, okay, yes, it's going to destroy tourism. Nobody is going, hotels are going to hate this. They're just going to shut their business down and like, well, we're not doing LA anymore. But then the more I thought about this, I was like, well, wait a minute, in the article, because it did say your available rooms will be rented to the homeless. Okay, well, wait a minute. When you're homeless, you have the money that you panhandled that day. And so at what rate is this a special homeless prorated rate and that they're going to get? Okay, so I paid $199, $350, $450, whatever the hell it was in my room. I've got homeless Joe next door to me doing whatever he's doing. I don't know what rate. I mean, details. It's like, I think that you could make the argument that that is an unfair competitive advantage to the homeless, to regular people. And it's just, I mean, it's preposterous. There's so many problems with it that I don't think, you know, their virtue signaling gets in front of logic. And there's a lot of problems with this, Chief.
Well, what they're doing is okay, so first of all, they don't use the word homeless. They use the unhoused, right?
That's
language, right? Language. So let's be clear about this. The unhoused are the people who find themselves homeless temporarily, who are not addicted to drugs, don't have mental illness and other issues, are easily able to find some form of housing fairly quickly. When they reach out and they ask, they are put in, they get it. We have the funds there. And those, so what we were talking about is all the people who are in open air drug encampments throughout our city. That's who they want to put in there. And that's the problem. Because, you know, just for people to know, so because, you know, what people really need to understand is how this public policy impacts them, all right? So 500,000 people in LA County work in the tourism industry, right, and hospitality industry. 500,000, that's a lot of people. It's a $36 billion boom to this region. $36 billion, right? Just the occupancy tax alone for the city of Los Angeles is $308 million a year.
300. So that's the 14% you pay on a room. And so think about this. If people stop coming to L.A. or maybe they stay in Pasadena or somewhere else to go to Disneyland, but they don't come to L.A., all those cities will benefit. But L.A. will begin to lose business. You won't get conventions that want to come here because they don't want their conventioners housed with a bunch of homeless folks.
Good point.
This is terrible policy. And I heard one of the city council persons said, well, you know, if they don't agree with this, we'll shame them. Like, we'll publicly shame them for not doing this. Now, you know, the open air drug markets need a blend of enforcement and treatment. We need to stop worrying about putting them in their single room, and we need to get them in homeless housing with treatment. And if they're involved in crimes, we have to put them in jail. And then get them in some, and bridge them to housing when they get outside. We cannot continue to stick our head in the sand and think that these utopian ideas are going to continue to work, because they haven't worked. Like I said, we got increased homicides, increased suicides, increased overdoses, and increased homelessness with the policies that they already recommended. Now you want to destroy our tourism industry? This is lunacy that's going on in the city council. In November, you got a chance to impact that.
I'm speaking with retired Los Angeles Sheriff Department Chief Patrick Jordan. He echoes my sentiments as well. This would be like the final nail that destroys tourism in Los Angeles. I used to live in Venice, and I used to live in Hollywood. And these were the kind of places that my friends or other people from other countries, they want to see Hollywood. They want to see Santa Monica and Venice. Well, actually, if you saw it now, it's pretty bad. We're taking a break, you guys. We'll be right back.
You will own no property and be happy. That's right. The World Economic Forum strikes again. Stay tuned.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
The World Economic Forum has issued a call to reduce private vehicle use by eliminating ownership. The WEF urged more sharing of cars to, quote, reduce ownership. Why? Because the climate allegedly can't handle you owning a vehicle. The World Economic Forum now joins the UK Transport Secretary, who said that owning a car is outdated 20th century thinking, and we must move to, quote, shared mobility to cut CO2 emissions. Not to be left out, Business Insider magazine has urged electric cars won't save us. We need to get rid of cars completely. The British Medical Journal's on record as saying we need substantially fewer journeys by car. And a Gates Soros-funded professor in Europe called for, quote, climate lockdowns and urged governments to limit private vehicle usage. And Democrat presidential candidate Andrew Yang called for the end of private vehicle ownership and instead offered roving fleets of rental electric vehicles that can be called up as needed. My friends, the Great Reset is here. It's time for the Great Reject. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Emergency, police, fire, ambulance.
Yeah, I'm just passing through.
Police, fire, ambulance.
I could see a whole lot of smoke.
What town are you calling from?
I'm on a mobile phone.
I need the town.
Yeah, there it is. I can see flames. It appears to be a kid or something at the window.
It's okay.
You guys are better out. This is serious.
Hello?
000's sole job is to connect you to emergency services. If you stay focused and just answer the prompted questions, you'll get help faster.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Governments around the world are wasting billions of dollars in carbon capture and storage. Such programs oppose the benefits of enhanced photosynthesis for a greener world and improved crop yields. Much of the funding goes to geosequestration, which requires vast amounts of energy to pump carbon dioxide deep underground into geological formations. It would be better described as oxygen burial, given oxygen makes up 73% of the mass of carbon dioxide. For most of the last 600 million years of life on Earth, atmospheric carbon dioxide concentration exceeded 1,000 parts per million. And for much of that time, including when the dinosaurs roamed it, it was over 2,000 parts per million. Today, it is only about 415 parts per million. Burning fossil fuels liberates carbon back into the atmosphere from which it came.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTRadio.live.
I'm speaking with retired Los Angeles Sheriff Department Chief Patrick Jordan. He visits us weekly sometimes and tells us what's going on. And Chief, one of the things I would like to see is for perhaps some of these people in the hospitality industry, maybe try to reach out to the Chamber of Commerce, and they need to lobby hard against this, because if I'm a guy who is part owner in the W or something like that, I might look at this and say, well, you know what? If they try this in Los Angeles and it works, well, then next they're going to move it to Chicago, New York, or whatever. So, and I hate recommending that others do the work for us, because, you know, maybe we have to save ourselves.
This is kind of the downside of the unions, because surprisingly, yeah, the union that's the people supporting it are a bunch of a union. I think it's United 11, who represents hotel workers, believe it or not. And the owners are saying, are you crazy? My staff will be the people who were worst impacted by it. I think the tourism, LA Tourism Board or Commissioner, I can't remember the name of them, they already sent a letter and said this is crazy. But, you know, let's bring it down to every single American or our citizen in LA. Why is this a problem? Anybody that's working and has got a 401k or an IRA or anything like that, if you take a look at, you know, who owns these hotels, it's not some big nebulous guy out there, right? I mean, you own it. If you own Vanguard, I think Vanguard is one of the funds, is one of the number one funds that owns Marriott, which is the hotel chain I like to use, right? So they own them. It's all of these mutual funds, these retirement funds that own these companies. It's not, you know, it's not some big, you know, Conrad Hilton still doesn't own every single Hilton, right? Every one of us own a piece of it through our retirement funds, through our 401ks, our IRAs, or any other investments. Even if you only got a small investment, you own a piece, right? And you are the one who's gonna be impacted, right? Because it'll impact your business, because you own it, right? And so I think most people don't see it that way, but that is exactly the way everybody should see it. They're destroying our economy. They don't really care that the tourism industry will be destroyed, because they'll just go and, well, we just got to tax the rich and get more money to, you know, pay for whatever else they want to pay for, right? The fact that $308 million come from all those people that pay that 14% occupancy tax just to the city. What that means is it doesn't pass through the state. It comes right to the city. It's discretionary funds that they can do whatever they want with. And so all these little pet projects that all these politicians have and all these people want this money in their community, where does it come from? You know, all this is money that comes from other people who are visiting here. It's not even our money. It's being injected in our economy, and we're going to destroy it and chase them away. They'll go to other cities that where they have sanity, right? And that's the problem. Yep. And you know, there's another ordinance that they're considering in City Hall that they had to shut down the City Hall today. They had to shut down the City Council meets, City Council chambers today. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but this was to restrict the homeless from being in encampments near schools. So they were voting on that today.
Yeah.
And all these crazy people came down there, said, you're going to kill people. People are dying and this is not right. You know, let's add truth to this, right? So let's understand this. So all this ordinance was doing was saying you can't have homeless encampments near schools and primary schools and daycare centers, right? Very reasonable. You don't want dropping your kid off to school and have to walk by somebody shooting up or who's naked and taking a dump. You shouldn't have to do that, right? And they want them out of there. That's very reasonable. And I think even the most, well, the few leftists that are on there, I think are going to be shouted down, and the city council is going to pass it. But they had to shut down the chamber because these crazy leftists were there. I believe they made a couple of arrests. The LAPD put their helmets and shields on to take some of them to jail because they were. So let's talk about the insanity of this all. You know, first of all, the disparate treatment, because that's another word they use. They use that term. ACLU loves it. The disparate treatment. The enforcement of the law is a disparate treatment for the people who are people of color. More of them ended up in jail. Well, the disparate treatment of the tough on crime stuff also reduced crimes in neighborhoods of color, saved lives of people of color. We had a lot less deaths, a lot less crime, a lot less murder in those neighborhoods, and allowed for investment to return to those areas and revitalization of those areas and allowed people to get jobs. It was so when you look at the negative side of tough enforcement of laws, okay, you can find that disparate treatment, but what about the disparate benefit? What about the overall, who benefited from the most from the tough on crime stuff? And you heard me say this before. In 1993, 13.1 homicides per 100,000 in California. By 2014, it was down to 4.4. The vast majority of people who were dying were people of color, particularly inner cities, in these open-air drug markets who are growing crazy. The same thing, can you look at the homeless? It's the same thing. The disproportionate number of people who are homeless are men, black men in particular, and that number is growing, and they represent the largest number that are dying of overdoses of our homeless on our streets. Yet we won't do any enforcement because enforcement is bad. Police are bad. Can't do any enforcement yet. When you take a look around the world, I was listening to the Hoover Institute, and they were talking about homeless and how they dealt with it in Amsterdam. They had open-air drug markets in Amsterdam, and they said, yeah, they used the police. The police would bust them up so that there wasn't big encampments, but the social service agencies came in behind them and made sure they got treatment or things offered to them, and if they weren't going along with the program, the police cited them and gave them an administrative cites, and then if they didn't pay them, then they've ultimately went to jail and they got the treatment there. That's the model I've been talking about since I've been coming on your show, and that's the model we need to go to. That the notion that law enforcement was the primary enforcement tool for homeless is a lie. They did a study in 2016 where they looked for the spending of 2014-2015. Of the $1 billion LA County spent for the homeless, only 8% went to the Sheriff's Department. It's a lie that the law enforcement was the number one tool. But law enforcement was a valuable tool for the most persistent, most violent, and the homeless that are engaged in criminal activity. And we need to bring that back. We need to bring some of that sanity back. There isn't any reason why we can't enforce all of the other laws that the homeless are violating. We can't enforce encampment unless we got enough beds per the Ninth Circuit, but we can enforce the drug laws. We can enforce the thefts. We can enforce everything else that they're doing. There's no problem in doing that, but we're restrained from doing that because the political leaders are trapped in this woke utopian world that they have only in their mind of themselves, because it's not really resulting in any benefit to the wider community of Los Angeles, city of Los Angeles, the county of Los Angeles.
As much as I want to make a joke about the hotel thing, I know. Can you imagine being one of these hotel workers cleaning up after a pretty deranged, drug addicted homeless person's been in there for a few days? And the other thing is, one of the reasons that I don't like these types, every bad idea that gets acted upon promotes the next one. And it's like, at some point we have to say, no, that we've had enough here. We're not doing any more of these things. Whatever factory these ideas are coming out of, this is not working and we're not going to do this anymore. And this hotel thing, well, of course we don't want homeless people by school. That shouldn't even be a question. That's just common sense. I mean, my daughters were afraid to walk under this bridge. I'm over here kind of in the North Hollywood Studio City area. And my daughter would walk home from the NoHo to our little house in Valley Village, and she'd have to go under this overpass. She was scared. So kids should not be subjected to that. This is not controversial. This is not partisan. This is just common sense. And then the hotel thing, I mean, yeah, as if when you put them in the hotel, they're going to abide the law and everything's going to be fine and they're going to hang the towels back up and they're not going to get, you know, they're not going to shoot a ton of drugs, or a lot of these people are going to die in the hotel because they've not gotten the help that they need to coexist within the environment of society. So it's just, I mean, this thing has to be put down because it just promotes more bad ideas.
Yeah, I think we have institutions like the LA Mission, the Rescue Mission, that have been around for a long time doing a good job. And
LA Mission's going to be on next week.
Oh, good.
So he's going to be on next week.
Follow, we need to follow their lead and stop listening to this woke crowd who, one, they lie to you. They lie. And as soon as they begin lying, and as far as the unions go for these hotel workers, you need to look at your leadership. There's a lot of unions around here that their leadership, they're bought, paid for, and they do whatever the woke crowd wants instead of what's best for their members. And you need to vote those kind of people out.
Common sense, as always, that is retired Los Angeles Sheriff Department Chief Patrick Jordan, friend of the show. Chief, we always enjoy the common sense that you bring to us. Thank you for joining us again today. To all of the listeners, we really appreciate you, and we do this for you, and we want to hear more from you. Follow us on social media. Send us a little line every now and then. Tell us what you like. Alex and Dave, my producers, thank you. TNT, thank you for providing the platform, and I'll see all of you back here, or I'll speak to all of you back here again tomorrow.